experienced in our first day of our annual retreat. And for some of you, this might be your first retreat that we've done. And I'm sure there might be some mixture of excitement and maybe a little bit of anxiety. I don't know what to expect. But I can tell you to rest assured that this obviously is going to be hopefully a very graceful and holy retreat. I have a lot of people and religious praying for you, especially as you go into this 3-day retreat. But one of the things that I wanted to just encourage all of you and all of, and myself included, is to really take to heart this time that God is giving to us. Because this time of retreat is, there's a lot of graces that God wants to give to each and every one of us. And there are sacrifices that God wants, is going to ask of us throughout this retreat. But as long as we are generous and are well-disposed, I believe, like I said, this will be a great retreat for everyone. As long as you put up with me, and I'm going to give you plenty of opportunities to offer things up. So that will be, like I said, a very good thing spiritually for us. But three topics I wanted to cover for today's talk. And that is, first thing is why we have a retreat. So the purpose and the benefits of a retreat. Second point I wanted to cover was how to make the most of this retreat. And then lastly, how to use our time well during this retreat. So first off, we might ask ourselves, well, why is it that we have a retreat? Why is this something that's so important? And why is it that Father Benedict flies a priest in for this? It must be a pretty big deal. And it is a very big deal. The fact of the matter is that a retreat is a time for us to get away from our normal day-to-day life and to reflect on something that's most important, and that is the spiritual state of our souls. And when you reflect upon that, we know that, as we learned in our catechisms, the reason why we are here, why God has created us, is to know, love, and serve Him so as to be happy with Him in the next. So this purpose for which we're created is something that very often can get put on the back burner, that we can forget about as we go into our studies, as we go into our duties and different chores that are given to us. And this time of retreat helps us to kind of refocus, to put things back into focus and to realize, okay, the purpose why I'm here is to save my soul. And so this time of retreat is time for us to really reflect, how am I doing spiritually? And just like to put forth to you, you think of soldiers. They've just gone into a battle. They're fighting a war. And they have just fought a battle, and they're pretty tired. So what happens? They get taken off the front lines, and they are given a time to recuperate, a time to recharge. And the general of that battalion will go over their battle plan. Okay, was the last battle that they fought successful? Or was it a failure? And if it was a success, what is he going to do? Well, he's going to make sure that he employs the same tactics, that he employs the same battle plan. Now, if it was a failure, what does he do? He's going to go back and think, okay, why did I fail? Where did I fail? And he's going to draw up a different battle plan, and he's going to be sure that he's going to learn from his mistakes. So this is, like I said, what we can relate to. We can see ourselves as soldiers, because we truly are soldiers. We're soldiers of Christ. We're fighting a spiritual war. And this time of retreat helps us to kind of get away, to recharge, to refocus, and to get a battle plan. What are we going to do this year to really grow in our love for God, to grow spiritually, and to overcome any sin or any faults or vices that we have and we may be struggling with? And so the general, like I said, he will draw up his plan. He will look into why he failed, if he failed, and if he's doing, and if he did well, he's going to continue doing that. So that is one of the things that we are trying to accomplish, is to have a spiritual battle plan. What are we going to do as soldiers of Christ to make sure that we win the next battle, that we win the war? And I also think of this as, you can say, a garden. So some of you may know what it takes to garden. You have to till the soil. Then you have to make sure that you plant the seed, that you water, that you weed out your garden, etc. There's a lot of work that goes into preparing and making a garden. And it's the same when it comes to our spiritual lives, that we have a retreat every year, and it's precisely like we're planting a garden. What do we have to do? We have to till the soil of our soul, and we have to plant the seed, which, as we've read a couple Sundays ago, the seed is the Word of God. And the Word of God can be two different things. Obviously, it can be Holy Scripture, the Word of God, but it can also be the second person of the Blessed Trinity, which is also known as the Divine Word, the Word made flesh. And so we plant that seed into our hearts, into our soul, and we obviously have to fight the good fight, and we have to weed out our spiritual gardens. If we see anything that's there, that's displeasing to God, we put it out and we work, and we obviously have to put the work together. So it's like a garden. We're like soldiers. But I also think of saints and how retreats have made such a deep impression upon them. And not even just saints, but Christian men and women throughout history. I think of the Greek soldier saint, St. Ignatius. Now, St. Ignatius, being a soldier, was very geared towards that mentality of fighting the fight and being a good soldier. And when he had his conversion, it was not too long after that he went into a retreat. And it was in this retreat that he was given the spiritual exercises, which has worked marvels on many a soul. And this was a series of retreats and meditations that he would, it was a 3-day retreat. And that was actually, like I said, fairly intensive. And but it worked a lot of good in the souls of many Catholic men and women throughout history. But it was when he was at a retreat that he received the spiritual, this grace, and the spiritual exercises. You think of St. Paul the Apostle. You know that St. Paul the Apostle used to persecute Christians, the early Christians, and we know that St. Paul was knocked off his horse. When St. Paul was knocked off his horse, he was struck blind, and what did he do? He went into a retreat. He went with the man that had been told by Almighty God to go to him, and he kept him in his house, and St. Paul, so to say, was there in prayer, waiting to see, what do you want me to do, Lord? He had just had this tremendous experience, this instant conversion. But he went into a retreat after being knocked off his horse and spent that time in prayer and trying to discern God's will. What does God want from me? And we think of, for example, in the Middle Ages, how he had knights. And before going receiving the knighthood, they would spend a time of preparation, and they would spend all night at a vigil, so to say, in the church, praying and asking God, what do you want me to do? Give me the grace to be a good knight, to defend the rights of the church, to defend to defend those who need that defense. And so knights themselves would go into retreat. So as we come into this retreat, it's important. It's a time for us to pray, to reflect. Don't waste the time that is being given to you. It can be very easy to try to whittle away your time and to waste it. I want you to use it well. And that's why Father has given a very detailed schedule for what he expects during this retreat. And that's one of the things we'll get into here. But another thing that reasons why we have a retreat is that, as I mentioned, the time of special grace, but it also helps us to know ourselves and to know God better. And one of the things that we know, that as soldiers we are fighting three main enemies. We're fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil. And these are the three main enemies of our soul. And so it is that retreat gives us that time to think, how am I in the sight of God? How am I doing spiritually? What are my defects? Where are my sins? Where are my faults? And getting that opportunity to focus and to have that mindset of what we're going to do to do better. Now, one of the things that I myself have found very helpful is to think of our situation as, so to say, we the situation if we see a house that's burning down. And this is one of the things that the bishop actually has mentioned before. You know, I know a priest who was told once, when he was thinking of leaving the seminary, the bishop said, put forth this idea of you see a house burning down, and you have one of two options. You can go and jump in and help save lives, or you can walk away and wait for someone else to do it. And that priest, that is now a priest, he's like, if you put it that way, you feel guilty about it, and run in there and try to save as many people as I can. But that's one of the things that we can try to see the situation that we find ourselves in the world today. The house that is burning, and there are people that are dying, that need help, that needs someone to save them. And we can do one of two things. We can run in there and try to save as many souls as possible, or we can just sit by and not do anything and call for help and expect someone else to do it. And that is where, when we see what we are trying to accomplish here as minor Samaritans, we're trying to form good habits, we're trying to become holy, we're trying to sanctify ourselves, we're trying to pray and find out what our vocation is, what God wants from us. And so it is that we need to do something. We can't just sit by and watch this house burn down in front of us and watch these people die in front of us. We go and we do something. And for you, what is it? You sanctify yourselves. You try to form those good habits. Try to become holy. Try to grow in love for Almighty God. And that is what you can do here and now. It's not like you have to wait 2, 3, 10 years down the road to do something. You're being called to action now. You're being called to accomplish something that's great in the eyes of God, and something that will help not only save your own soul, but help save the souls of many another person. So, second point I want to cover, how to make the most of this retreat. As I mentioned earlier, you know that there's silence that is to be had throughout the entire retreat, except for our recreations. Now, the reason why the silence is so important is that we can't hear the voice of God if we have all this noise and distraction about us. So God speaks to us in the quiet of this environment, the quiet of our souls. And you think about in the Old Testament, you have the prophet Samuel. So the prophet Samuel was the servant of Eli. Now, when Samuel was a young man, God was trying to speak to him. And it happened on one occasion that he had fallen asleep. He was in church, he was in front of the tabernacle as we read in scripture. And he woke up. He heard a voice saying, "Samuel, Samuel." And he thought it was Eli, his master, that was calling him. And he went to his master and said, "Master, here I am. Would you call me?" And Eli said, "I didn't call you. I know what you're talking about. Go back to sleep." So Samuel went back to sleep. Well, fell asleep a second time. He heard the voice, "Samuel, Samuel." And the second time he went back to Eli and said, "Master, here I am. Call me." Samuel, "I did not call you." Went back to sleep. The third time he heard the voice. By that time, when he went back to Eli, Eli realized, this is something that is supernatural. This is God who is trying to speak to Samuel. And so he said, "When you hear the voice next time, tell him, 'Lord, here I am. What do I have to do?'" And so it is that when Samuel went back to sleep and he heard the voice again, he answered, "Lord, here I am. Thy servant is listening. What do you want me to do?" And that is one of the things that we can try to do during this retreat, not only to keep the silence, but to be in the presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament as often as we can. Spend a lot of time in His presence because He is calling us, just like He called Samuel. And so we should present ourselves to our Divine Lord, present in the Blessed Eucharist. Say, "Lord, Thy servant is listening. What would you have me to do?" And that is one of the things that we can, besides the silence, we want to spend some extra time here in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. And let our Lord speak to you. And sometimes just even sitting in front of the tabernacle, not even saying anything, just saying, "Lord, Thy servant is here, speak, for Thy servant is listening." And that's one of the things that, in the story, I believe it was in the life of St. John Vianney, St. John Vianney would see a man that would come into church, and had spent a certain amount of time there. And St. John Vianney one day asked him, "So what prayers do you pray when you're making your visit?" And the man just said, "I don't say anything. I look at our Lord and he looks at me, and that is enough." And so our Lord is speaking to him in that, so to say, not even there weren't any words being expressed or meant over. It was just, I look at him, he looks at me. And like I said, this is what we can try to do during this retreat, just come in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. Say, "Lord, here I am, speak." My servant is listening. So one of the things that we want to do as we come into this retreat is also to have good, right dispositions. So we know that, for example, we all can hear the same sermon, and some of you might think, "Oh, that sermon Father gave was excellent." And others might think, "Huh, oh, wasn't that great?" Or we have the same person, or we have people that go to communion. One person gets receives a lot of graces from that Holy Communion, another person might not. And I think a lot of this has to do with dispositions, with having the right and proper dispositions. So as we come into this retreat, I think it's very important that we have certain dispositions. And there are six main dispositions I wanted to cover. The first one is recollection. And that is where the silence comes in, making sure that we avoid the distractions, that we are being recollected, that we try to concentrate on the talks that are being given, that we think about the truths of our religion, that we think about our spiritual needs. And if we do get distracted during this retreat, don't get discouraged. Make sure you make it a prayer, you give it to our Lord, and you ask our Lord to help you to be recollected. It's not always easy to focus, especially if you might be tired, especially if you might be uncomfortable, but that is where we can turn that into a prayer. Give it to our Lord and say, "Lord, here this is, please help me to be recollected." And remember, if we do our best and are of good will, God will take care of the rest. So that's where we do the best that we can. Second thing is that we should be docile. So what do I mean by that? Is that we have docility of soul. So that recollection that I was speaking about helps us to prepare to listen and to hear the voice of God. So when we hear the voice of God, we must be ready to obey. So it usually happens during retreat that God asks of us some sacrifice to give up a bad habit, to make something right, to make up a quarrel, to say sorry for something that we may have done in the past. And he asks of us a sacrifice, and he will do this and ask of it out of love for him. And that is where we want to be motivated during this retreat, to try to have that love of God, that I'm here because I love God and I want to do better. And I'm sorry for any past things that I have done to offend Almighty God. That brings me to the third point, which is generosity. Making sure that when God asks of us a sacrifice, that we are being generous. So that means that we are doing not just the bare minimum, that we're doing more than is required, that we give freely, and even though it might cost us something, it might be painful, it might cost us some toil, some work, but that is where we reflect upon what our Lord has done for us on the cross. And so I wanted to read a prayer that is attributed to St. Ignatius of Loyola. But this prayer, so to say, goes to remind us of that aspect of being generous with God. But the prayer goes, "Lord, teach me to be generous. Teach me to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heal the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to look for any reward, save that of knowing that I do your holy will." Say that one more time. "Lord, teach me to be generous, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to look for any reward, save that of knowing that I do your holy will." So that generosity of heart, to fight and not to count, not to heed the wounds, to give and not to count the cost, and to toil and not to seek for rest. And for myself personally, I like this prayer because it's a reminder to me, okay, Father, I know you have a very hectic life. You'll be able to rest in heaven. So just make sure you focus on getting to heaven, getting other souls there. And just make sure you fight and don't seek for that rest here in this earth. But you'll be given that reward, that rest in heaven. So this for me really just helps to put things into perspective. So this prayer is St. Ignatius of Loyola. Next thing for us to have during this retreat, confidence. So that means that we begin this retreat with the conviction, the firm conviction, that God will give us all the graces that are necessary, and that He is calling us to draw closer and to draw nearer to Him, and that as God is giving us this call, He will give us all those graces, and that's why the time of retreat is there's a lot of graces that are there. So we need to have confidence that God is giving us those graces, and to think of God more than we think of ourselves, so to say. The next point is for us to remain calm, and that is, don't let your peace of mind be disturbed. So that is one of the things that when you have a lot of silence and you have a lot of reflection, you might get a little anxious, you might get a little disturbed, and you can't let that bother you. You have to give it to our Lord, and remember that our Lord works in peace, and He wants us to be at peace during this retreat. So if you start to feel maybe a little anxious, like, oh boy, I've been a real sinner, and how's God going to forgive me? It's like, well, that's like I said, the devil's going to try to disturb us and to get us riled up and to get us anxious, and we have to remain calm. And that is where if you start to feel maybe a little anxious, just pray that prayer that we pray at Mass, that Ecce Agnus Dei, Ecce Quitori Peccatum Mundi, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. So we can pray for that peace of soul, especially during this retreat. And then the last disposition is for you to have courage. Because as soldiers of Christ, we shouldn't be afraid of the battle. We shouldn't be afraid of what it's going to cost us to fight the good fight, and to toil on, to seek for rest, etc. And that's where we have to have courage as soldiers of Christ, to step up to the plate and not to be afraid to face ourselves as we truly are, and in the silence and the extra prayer meditation, and to be open with our mind to God, and to be open with our heart-to-heart talks with Almighty God. And if you're thinking like, well, I don't have these dispositions, don't be worried, don't be discouraged. Ask our Lord as we continue this retreat to help you to be well disposed, to try to have these dispositions that I just mentioned. And the last thing I wanted to mention is how to use our time well during this retreat. Now, a few hints is I will recommend that you have a little notebook and that you write down little notes throughout the retreat. On the conferences, on your meditations, your spiritual reading, write down certain things that make an impression upon you. Things that really struck you, that was a really good thought, or that really made a deep impression upon you. Write those things down and make some notes, some brief notes, so that way, as you go throughout the year, you can always go back to your retreat notes and say, okay, I wrote this down, I needed that right now. And that you can always get something out of it, even as you go throughout the year. So that is one of the things I'm going to recommend. The second thing is that you get a good spiritual reading book. Now, I don't want you to spend all of the time doing spiritual reading, but you will be using a good amount of the time doing spiritual reading, but make sure that the book that you have is something solid, something that will be encouraging for you and helpful for you. Third thing is to try to pray an extra rosary if possible. I know we have our schedule, but there's extra free time. You know, go for a little rosary walk, or even just go and meditate. Think about God's creation. Think about God as you go for a little walk. Another thing, if you have a certain prayer that you like, or a certain hymn, go through it. Read it slowly, and think about it. Meditate upon the words from that specific prayer or that specific hymn that you might have an attraction to. Another thing would be if you take out Holy Scripture, take out the Bible, and look through scriptures and see if there's like certain verses in the Bible that stand out to you. I have a couple that come to my mind right away that I personally like. For example, to those who love God, all things work together to good. If God is with us, then who is against us? But you can get these little quotes that you can write down into your notebooks and help you. Those little sayings or those texts that you write down will help you throughout the year to encourage you, to help you to keep going forward. Or you can even get the Imitation of Christ. There's a lot of good stuff in there, and you can write down little things, little quotes that will be helpful to you. And then lastly, I would like to encourage you to make some resolutions at the end of the retreat. So that is where you reflect on how you can, things that you need to improve, and put your battle plan, how am I going to improve, and in what areas, and that is going to be, so to say, your battle plan as you leave the retreat. So that is one of the last things that we should strive to do, is to make sure that we have written down some resolutions, what we're going to try to do as we go and move forward from here. But as we are beginning this retreat, like I said, very, very excited, and I think that this will be a very good experience for all of us, and a lot of graces that are going to be given to us. And I just remember for myself, it wasn't necessarily a retreat, but you can consider it like a retreat. Some of you have gone to the camp in Colorado, and that was up in the mountains. We had no cell service. It was very spiritual camp. Remember, some of you may have heard this, we would do at Stations of the Cross. So we would hike up this tall mountain and carry the cross, we did three crosses, but we'd take turns carrying this huge cross up to the very top of this mountain. And like I said, just very, very spiritual, and the talks that the priest gave, just excellent. But it was at one of these camps, I was a counselor, but it was one of these camps that the talks were just, and then just the recollection really made a deep impression. That is when I decided to go back into the seminary the second time around. And it was just in that silence and that recollection, the spirituality of the camp that really made a deep impression. So I just want to encourage you all to take advantage of this retreat that God has given us, this beautiful opportunity to grow in our love for Him, and to make the most of it. So, like I mentioned, with these three points, the aspect of why we have a retreat, how to make the most of our retreat, and how to use the time well during this retreat. And with that, I will go ahead and we will end with a prayer. We will have our next exercise at 7:30, will be recreation, and that is where all of us should partake in that and need to partake in that. And obviously, we are allowed to speak during recreation. That is a time for us to kind of get out that extra energy so that way we can come back and really focus well on what we need to focus during this retreat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.